Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Appreciate all of you coming today. I had announced that the Lord willing, I was going to continue this clarification subject on that we're having on these topics. And today our topic is the resurrection.
Amen.
Now, if you would take the term resurrection out of the Bible and the doctrine and the belief of people being raised from the dead, you'd have a document that would be so full of holes you wouldn't know what it really meant. And can you think of a religion that does not promise a resurrection for those that die while before the end of everything? What are people in religion seeking for? It's just a matter of simple logic that if you think of all the religions in the world, especially the nine major ones, there's only one that their leader is alive.
Yes. Amen.
All the other founders or teachers or the philosophers or whatever they are that the people base their belief upon, they're dead. You can go to their tombs. You can find the place where they're buried. People go there in remembrance of them. But Christians cannot find the place where Jesus Christ is buried. He's alive. He has risen from the dead. How many of you believe in the resurrection? You believe that a person can die and stop breathing and not move and turn into dust and then live again? Well, that's what the Bible teaches us. That's the basis of Christian religion. What if Jesus had come and had done the miracles that he did and had taught us what he taught us and had been the example to us and then was crucified and died and was buried and did not rise from the dead? Would you be able to believe the words that he said? Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's one of the basic scriptures. And John, the disciple, he realized that one day. And he said, you know what? He said, whoever believes on Jesus Christ, they pass from death to life. Even though the world looks at them and says they're dead, we can have everlasting life. Jesus is the only one, the only founder of one of the major religions that has risen from the dead. Amazing thing is he foretold his own resurrection. While he was on this earth alive with his people, he told them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Now, they thought he was talking about the temple that Solomon had built, or that Herod had rebuilt and enlarged. And everybody the world over thought it was one of the most magnificent constructions that had ever been. It was over 200 feet tall, and the front of it was gold. So much so that the Romans, they were going to keep it. But when they went to capture it, somebody set it on fire, and the gold belted and ran down the walls. And they tore it down till another prophecy was fulfilled that Jesus said, not one stone will be left on top of another. Fulfilling his words. But that temple was destroyed, that one, but that's not the one he was talking about.
Amen.
They thought, you're crazy. It took us years to build this thing. And you say destroy it and raise it up in 3 days. But let me tell you, the human temple, of which now is the temple of God, men cannot build that. There is no other power on earth that's ever promised or even theorized that they could raise somebody from the dead. I think that goes back to the very beginning of the Creator that created this. He not only preached and foretold his own resurrection, he preached the resurrection of others. So much so that Christians today believe that all that have fallen asleep in Christ, God will raise and bring with him when he comes. You know, it's one thing for Christians to believe, well, yes, Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead by God, but They don't preach and believe the resurrection of themselves. What hope is there for someone to be a Christian if you just live this life and you die, and buried, and you go back to the dust, and there's no promise of a resurrection?
Amen.
Paul says without that, we'd be men most miserable. But do you really believe today that there's going to be those that are asleep in Christ?
Yes.
That there's going to come a time when a trumpet sounds?
Yes.
And they're going to rise from the dead.
Amen.
Now, Paul taught in Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Right.
And it was because in church history it tells us that the people back there then, they believed in a resurrection. There were some who did. And we'll get into that maybe a little more this morning. But, you know, there were even some that believed on Jesus said, well, now, those that die now, well, if they're not here when he comes back, then there's no hope for them. And Paul had to come along and say, brother, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant.
Right.
Don't you worry about those that are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall come first.
Amen.
And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm going to mention this a number of times, but if you believe that, what do you think is going to be the effect on you when you witness that? You know, there were those who believed on Jesus. But when they came and told that Jesus had risen from the dead, some of them didn't even believe it. They left town. But when they began to believe on the resurrection, that listen, we saw him crucified. We saw him buried. We saw him in that tomb. But here he is now with us. And he was with them for 40 days. The resurrection had a change on those people. There's 500 of them saw him ascend up into heaven. But 10 days later, when he told them to tarry in Jerusalem and they'd gone back to the upper room, there was only 120 there. I've often wondered what happened to the 380. Did they not believe what Jesus told them? Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But the resurrection had an effect on the people there then. And the resurrection is going to have an effect on the saints today. You say you're a believer, but you think about what's going to happen to you when you see one of your loved ones. There's going to be a change take place in you. Now, what is it to be resurrected? Well, we came from the dust. And the dust we're going to return if we die. I don't care if they, you know, in the days of the martyrs, they fed some of them to the lions. And they became lion dung. There's been some burned at the stake. They became ashes. There's been some buried in the sea and swallowed, eaten by the fish. There's been some dead long enough that you couldn't find enough of their dust or their ashes today to fill a teacup. If you were to gather them all together, it just seems almost impossible.
Amen.
But you have to go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. Let's read that together. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And that's the reason the Jewish people to this day respect the human body.
Amen.
Even in some of the terrorist acts that have happened over there. Like I remember one in particular 10 or 15 years ago when there were terrorists that came in from Lebanon area. They went and they attacked a schoolhouse and they killed some of the children. And when the soldiers came in and stormed the school and killed the terrorists, they threw their bodies out the window. And some of the people there, the citizens, they took and they threw gasoline and kerosene on them and set their bodies on fire. But when the rabbi got there, he rebuked them. He said, I don't care if they are terrorists. They're still, that body is the image of Almighty God.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they respect that body. They bury their dead within 24 hours because they do not want any corruption to set in. Because they believe this scripture right here, that your body is created in the image of Almighty God.
Yes.
But who made it and where did it come from? Let's read the rest of it. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him, he him. Now, I could get into a lot right there that, you know, a lot of people want to take the pronoun sometimes and prove the Godhead. But you see, God made man in his own image. Man is one. Image is one. Male and female, that's two. Made he, that's one. Them, that's more than one. How are you going to prove the Godhead, especially the Trinity doctrine, when God says the Lord our God is one?
Amen.
It takes a revelation to understand that sometimes. But so God created man, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. Now that's in chapter 1, but let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Where did he come from? The dust of the ground. God don't give this much description for the creation of all the animals. But for man, Adam, he created him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Yes.
And man became a living soul. You know, one thing that scientists like to do today is create artificial life. And you know, there's some people that they say they don't believe in God, and they say there's some things they can do, but have you ever heard of anybody creating life? It's sort of like one man said, well, I can do that, so he got some dirt and so forth and put it in. And the Bible believer said, no, use your own dirt. They have to start somewhere with what God did. But look at this. It's not a simple operation. There's nothing that anybody can do to duplicate that human body. They work with stem cell research and so forth today, and they clone this and they clone that. But nobody can take nothing, dust, and create a human life.
Amen.
The heart, the circulatory system, the eyes, the mind, the brain. There has to be a God somewhere.
Amen.
There has to be some intelligence somewhere. Anybody who can believe that all of this, the universe and all of its magnificent size and number and volume, and all the order that it's in. Anybody that can believe that all that happened just as a result of an explosion that nobody's ever been able to duplicate, without there being some kind of an intelligence behind it, stay in the perfect order that it's in. So much so that we, with our limited knowledge, that we can shoot a rocket, we can fire it off out there, and we know how the magnetism and all is going to work with it. We know that moon's going to be right there, right on time. We know that Mars is going to be there. There's something that keeps it all in order.
Yes.
So that with split second timing, we can do what we can do. But if that was off out there a couple of seconds, what would happen? Somewhere or another, there's an intelligence behind this.
Yes.
Now, if somebody believes that it was created in that vastness, without an intelligence behind it, let me tell you how intelligent that person is that thinks that. They can believe that you could take a stick of dynamite and throw it in a print shop and Webster's Dictionary would come out. And Webster's Dictionary is not near as complicated as that universe is. There has to be a God, an intelligence behind it. Now, it's God because we worship it. It says it's a spirit. But it was intelligent enough, it created all the things that there are. It created man. It created Eve out of man. It gave the ability for them to reproduce and form another life. Men would fight that with birth control and abortion and all the other things, but when you look in the scriptures, you'll find that something that God always used to show His greatest ability. Like when He told Abraham and Sarah in their old age they were going to have a child. They questioned that. Sarah laughed. How can I do this? And in the scriptures it said, God said, with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen. That's right.
People come along and said, well, you can't have a child without a male and a female, without a sperm and without an egg. But here in Abraham and Sarah, having one in their old age, when their bodies were dead and were not producing those ingredients, the scripture says, with God, nothing is impossible. Okay, we go to the New Testament, and here's the plan of God when He was going to have a virgin to conceive, which He told Isaiah 700 years before. And then when an angel, Gabriel, comes and tells Mary that she's going to have a child, she questions, how can I have a child when I've not been with a man? And again, the same answer comes back, with God, all things are possible. Now, I say the same in the resurrection. How can the dead live again? Because with God, all things are possible. Well, where are these dead in Christ going to come from? From the dust, from the ocean, from the depths, from the gases, from the air. But God just gathered up like He did in the beginning. And with God, all things are possible. How can God do that? Because He's God. And men will never discover the secret of that life. When they do, they have become a creator. They can't even create the dust.
Amen.
But God at one time took dust, formed a man, and breathed into his nostrils. And man became a living soul. Now, God created the animals, and He gave them life, but we don't have any record of Him breathing into their nostrils. And we don't have any record of them becoming a soul. Where did that soul come from? That's God. That's a spirit that you can come now and say that, as Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God? When you look at this and think of everlasting life, do you want to die or do you want to live? The only reason that people want to die is because they become so miserable in their flesh. But what about the soul that never dies?
Yes, amen.
If J. Paul Getty or Howard Hughes, any of those very wealthy men, had a choice today, I've often said I believe they would give everything they had for one more day of life. Because I'm sure there are some things that if they have any consciousness about it, they would like to have done it different or changed it. And everything that we do for ourselves, it'll pass away. But everything we do for God, it's in eternity. And that's the reason we need to learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, which God has put in our lives. In John chapter 5, verse 24 through 29, I mentioned to you that Jesus foretold things, but look what He said to the people He was preaching to, the people who heard Him in an audible voice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you had some assurance, somebody could sell you an insurance policy or sell you some kind of health care reform, that would tell you that you have this, you wouldn't die, but you live forever. As I said, that first of all, there wouldn't be enough money to buy it. But there is no ability to except one way, and that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, that's the resurrection I'm talking about today.
Amen.
Not the resurrection like happened with Elijah with a widow's son, or not even with the Jesus calling the Lazarus from the dead, not when he raised the widow's son, not any other resurrections you have ever heard of, but Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God,
yes,
and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
That sounds like something that's bigger than one person being raised from the dead. This is a promise that Jesus Christ gave himself. The next verse. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
Amen.
Now that, according to that, it's not only the righteous, but also the ungodly. And as reading in the New Testament, we'll find that there are some that they want to attain to a greater resurrection, and they call it the first resurrection and the second resurrection. And I want to be in the first one, because that's those that are asleep in Christ.
Amen.
And the second one is when all the dead are raised and stand before judgment.
Yes.
So the resurrection, I really want you to understand, is those that are asleep in Christ. That when that trumpet sounds, they come forth to be with him.
Amen.
Because they are him. They're the ones that has eternal life. The others, after judgment, they will face a judgment and be cast into a lake of fire.
Yes. Amen.
And some may say, well, eternal hell. The Bible don't teach it that way.
No.
Anything that's eternal does not have a beginning. Hell has a beginning, therefore it has an end.
Yes.
You say, well, you don't believe in eternal hell? No, I do not. There will be an eternal separation from God.
Right.
Because you were never with him to begin with.
Right.
You were never a part of him.
Amen.
Right.
There will be some that will be raised from the dead. They will be judged, and then they will be cast out from the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
There will be punishment. How long? The Bible doesn't say. How long? I don't even guess. I just know this. You don't want to go there.
Amen.
Let me tell you something else about that place. You earn your way to hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Then how does a person go to hell? The wages of sin is death. You sin, you'll be paid. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus paid it all. And how do you have eternal life? How do you get in the resurrection? You believe on him, because he is the resurrection and the life.
Hallelujah.
You sin, you're earning, and you're, God is honest, and he keeps records, and unless you repent of those, you will be paid.
Yes. Amen.
You'll be separated from God, because you made the choice. You did not want to be with him. If you want to be with him, you keep his commandments. You live a life that does not offend him. Let's look at this to see how we got this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture is so well known that if you look at a lot of sporting events, as people got John 3:16 put up, they'll have a little poster or something, and the TV cameras will get it. And wasn't it Vice President Al Gore and even President Obama that when they get their favorite scripture was what? And it wasn't John 3:16. They didn't even know their Bible that much. You know, it's not whether you know the reference, but it's whether you know him.
Amen.
But it just goes to show that you didn't You haven't been paying attention to what you've heard the preacher say, if the preacher preached it. I think it's verse 18 now. But he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Yes.
What is the name of that?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans in 6 verses 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul wrote this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what water baptism is.
Amen.
It symbolizes to anybody who witnesses that you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The water don't save you, don't cleanse you from your sins. It is an ordinance that you do, that you repent and you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the name above every other name.
Amen.
Whereby God desires for men to be saved.
Yes. Amen.
No other name in heaven, under heaven, any greater than that of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, yes, Jesus said, go ye and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the revelation is that Jesus Christ was God in flesh.
Amen.
That's the mystery of God. That Jesus Christ of the New Testament was God of the Old Testament in human flesh. But Jesus told his disciples, you've loved me, you've enjoyed being with me, but I got a better way than that. I'm going to go away, and this Spirit that the Father put in me, the beginning, he's going to put in me that you've admired, I'm going to send it back to you, and it's going to live in you, and you're going to be like me. That's the mystery of the Godhead.
Amen.
Don't you know that you are the temple of God?
Amen.
So much so that Paul in Romans 8 and 11 says that if that same Spirit that quickened Jesus and raised him from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal body.
Yes.
I'll read you that one in a moment. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, for if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God help us, as Johnny said this morning, not to be like that.
Amen.
To be changed.
Amen.
And you know what I'd have to say about Johnny? Blessed is the preacher who can sing late song service and not preach.
Right.
You know, Johnny apologized for this because Johnny had a call in his life to preach the gospel. And because the devil laid a trap for him and he got scars on his life, he doesn't feel worthy to stand up here and preach to you people. But you can't take that out of him if that calling is there. So if you feel a little critical sometimes about it, just pray for yourself and pray for him. Because, you know, I know as a minister, you can't help it.
Amen.
If that anointing is there and that feeling is there and that quickening is there and you got some, you want to tell it.
Yeah.
But then, let me caution you, don't get your life in a place to where you don't feel like people would have any confidence in you and listen to you. Because that's miserable.
Amen.
By the grace of God, I haven't experienced that, but I've dealt with a lot of people who have. And I'll say this, just thank God that your life, you haven't had to go through a mess.
Yes.
I believe that God can forgive sin.
Amen.
But people don't. They may say they forgive, but they don't forget. Oh, he did so-and-so. He said so-and-so. He did so-and-so. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all of our sin. We can't help the illegitimacy in our life. And God said that people like that couldn't even go into the temple for 10 generations, for 400 years. But you know what? When you're born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God don't even remember those things against you, but people do. And we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So Johnny, just testify, son.
Amen.
We love you, and we know God has forgiven you, but men never will. That's just the way it is. It's a doctrine. It's become a legalistic thing. That I'm glad that God's the judge. Some people says, well, I don't want to hear Brother Green preach. He did so and so. I can understand that. But you know what? Be careful, because someday you may have a problem. And by whatever measure you can forgive somebody else, by that measure you can be forgiven by God. The brothers and I were talking in the office before service about the mark of the beast that I'm doing a study on now. And you know, so many people believe that is a physical mark. You know, especially since we've got the electronics today that you know, it's in our passport, it's in our driver's license. They can even, with GPS, they can read where you are and know where you are. The census this year, they're going to GPS all of our front doors, of our addresses. Well, and then when Perry Teal came up here a few years ago and made this film he did about the Antichrist, and he come up with the idea of putting a chip in somebody's hand or forehead, you know, the thought came, well, there's a mark of the beast, not by ourselves. But Brother Branham very distinctly says that it's not a physical mark.
Amen.
It's not a tattoo.
No.
He says they'll tell you what you can believe and not believe and what you can do. In other words, can't pray for the sick, can't do this, can't believe that. We're coming to that place and global government systems, United Nations, whatever you want to call it, they're coming to that. But what is a mark? You know, that can be a mark against your character. But let me give you one to think about. If you got one scratch of aught in your heart against anybody else, you're in danger of hell fire. Because if you can't forgive somebody else, then you can't be forgiven. And you're in danger of hell fire. And if you take the mark of the beast, you're out of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham even says that people will take it and not even know they've done it. You may think, well, I can hold this in my heart against this person over here and nobody will know it, nothing else. But God knows it. And if you refuse, well, let me just say it the way Brother Branham, without perfect love, you will not make it. You've got a mark against you. What's that got to do with economics? So buy or sell? Well, if God won't hear your prayers, and he says that about husbands and wives, if you have these things that God won't even hear your prayers, how would you like to know, regardless of what you do and how much you live and how much you pray, God's not listening? Why? Because of your attitude. You've let somebody offend you, or you've offended somebody, and you refuse to make it right.
Yes, come on.
Amen.
You see, God does not forgive, excuse, saying, well, I made a mistake. Well, I slipped up. No, you sinned.
Yeah. Yeah.
You disbelieved God.
Come on. Amen.
Some people says, I can't help it. Yeah, somebody held a gun to your head and said, do it or you're going to die. People commit sin and disbelieve God because they want to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't take the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Cleanse your hearts and hands, you sinners.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Seek mercy.
Amen.
And live and grant mercy.
Right. Yes.
Forgive and be forgiven. Bear ye one another's burdens.
Yes.
Good.
Let your love be without assimilation. Let charity reign in your life.
Yes, sir.
Prefer your brother over yourself.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest statements I think Brother Branham made is that if you're a real Christian, you're willing to be lost to see somebody else saved.
Amen. Yes.
How many of you have a burden for the lost like that? You know, you'd be sighing and crying for the lost. There's a time when a prophet was told, let an angel go forth and mark all those that are out there that do that. And Brother Branham said, if an angel were to come through this tabernacle today, how many would he be able to mark? I told you people of a personal experience I had a few years ago when I woke up one night and I could hear somebody crying. You remember that?
Yes.
And I went in Janice's bedroom because I thought it was her. When I got her, she was sound asleep. I woke her up to ask her if she'd been crying. I could still hear the weeping, the crying. I went throughout my home. I stepped out in the garage that's enclosed. I could hear it. I stepped outside and I couldn't hear it. I thought maybe some of the children in that home next door, that they've got some handicapped children in there. But I go back in my house, and then it came to me that it was the angels weeping for the lost. Well, that came again last week. I went in and told Janice, I said, Janice, I can hear that crying again. And I tell you the reason I think it happened this time is because we don't realize it, but we get so pleasant and so secured in our position that we forget there's a dying world out there.
Yes.
That they need God. They need the gospel. And we lay our burden down and our family's okay and we're okay, but what about those that don't know God? Lost and undone. I've often compared and said we'd be like a person that's a member of the fire department. We driving down the street and we'd be a house on fire. We know there's a house full of kids in there. And we just drive right on by. I think most of us would set off an alarm. We try to go in and rescue somebody. But as Christians, we let them pass right by. You know where they're headed? Unless they know Jesus Christ, they're headed to a place of damnation. Because they don't know any better. How will it be when we stand before God and He said, you could have told that person. You had an opportunity to witness to that person. Oh yes, we've got the promise of a resurrection. But you know what? This is something I think God will give to those who will hear.
Yes.
Why shouldn't we share with it? There was, Brother Branham mentioned a man one time that he was a Muslim. And this is before the Muslim terrorist idea was around. This is 50 years ago. And this man said, you Christians say you believe that Jesus raised from the dead. How come you haven't told everybody on earth? He said, you let Muhammad rise from the dead and we'll tell the whole world in 24 hours. How many believe that Jesus is alive?
Yes.
That He was crucified and buried and rose again? What good news we've got to tell. But how long has it been since you've told somebody, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, but not only that, He arose again to vindicate who He was.
Amen.
I venture to say that you see people every day in your livelihood that they don't even know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Think about it.
Much less the thought that when they die, they too can rise from the dead.
Amen.
I have to spend a lot of time at the funeral homes. And I see people who don't have the Lord, who don't know the plan of salvation. What do they believe in? Nothing. But thank God for the blessed hope that we all have.
Yes.
That you don't die. You just go to sleep to take a nap.
Amen.
But your mother, your father, your child, your loved one, your friend, your fellow soldier, whoever it is, they can live again.
Amen.
If they believed on Jesus Christ. That's the reality of the resurrection. And when will that occur? When that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise again.
Amen.
And this can happen because God created it from the dust of the earth to begin with. Now if you get the idea that's impossible, then you don't believe the story of the creation. It's like a person can tell me they believe in the resurrection, but they don't believe in divine healing. Well, if God can raise one from the dust and breathe into them the breath of life and they become a living soul, and then after they've fallen asleep, He can raise them again, don't you think He's able to repair something that's wrong now?
Amen.
I think the two go more than hand in hand. I think that healing is resurrection.
Right.
I want to get Romans 8 and 11 in before I leave Romans. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies.
Amen.
By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know where the power of the resurrection is? In you. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that's in you is the power of the resurrection. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, in the Old Testament, people believed in a resurrection. Like the psalmist David in Psalms 103:14, he says, "We know we are dust. He remembereth that we are dust." Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we are the work of Thy hand." These men knew that God created this. Job chapter 33, verse 4. "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of Almighty hath given me life." If He made it in the beginning, why can't He do it again?
Yes. Right.
Chapter 33, verse 15 of Job. "And flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust." And what is one of the most popular statements that Job made? "Though the skin worms destroy this body,
amen,
yet in my flesh,
amen,
shall I see God."
Amen.
Do you believe Job believed in a resurrection?
Amen.
Well, now that's what the people of the Old Testament believed. There were some that did and some that didn't. Now, I want to take and give you four or five quotes that Brother Branham made about the resurrection. The first one is from 1958. It's September the 28th. It's saying, "Now we believe in feet washing. We believe in communion. We did those ordinances last Sunday. We believe in the second coming of Christ, the visible corporal body of the Lord, not spirit, but the corporal body of the Lord Jesus coming again in glory. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead to receive a body, not old and wrinkled as we go into the grave, but a new one in the very bliss of youth to live forever.
Amen.
We believe in the immortality of the soul. Absolutely, we believe there's only one form of eternal life, and that's the life that you get from Christ Jesus. Therefore, we do not believe in eternal punishment. We believe in a hellfire brimstone burning, but we don't believe it burns forever. If it does, you got eternal life. There's only one eternal life, and it comes from God."
Right, right.
You see, if hell didn't have an end, then eternal life would just be a matter of geography, whether you're in heaven or hell.
Right. Yeah.
You'll be burnt maybe for 1 million years, 10 million years, I don't know, but you can't have eternal life. You can't burn forever. You can burn forever, but not eternal. There's a difference between eternal and forever. Forever is forever and forever. Conjunction means a space of time. But eternal, you do not have eternal punishment. You have eternal life, because there's only one form of eternal life. And he that has eternal life lives and is blessed of God forever.
Yes.
But the soul that sinneth, that soul shall what? Die. Then it hasn't eternal life. Certainly it has. It has its punishment, but not eternal life. So you see, there's many things yet to be taught. We'll get on later. The Lord bless you. Now, I want you to know that was 1958. Brother Bram said that. Now, in 1955, on April the 10th, "Isn't it marvelous today that all shadows has passed away?" It's paragraph 25. "Well, I hope that I'll come in the resurrection." No more hope. We have the assurance. That's all, we know it. No more hope so, because something happened in our lives that took all shadows away. When Christ, the resurrected one, came to our sinful condition that we were in, and the old things died out in the crucifixion with him at the altar, and we rose again new with him, and live with him, and reign with him, and seated now in heavenly places in Christ. Now you see, we once were dead in the trespasses of our sin, but once we've repented, and God is, and we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, and His blood is cleansed from all of our sins, we change.
Right.
We're no longer subject to that death.
Amen.
We're alive forevermore in Christ Jesus. We are already raised with Him. The resurrection's already passed as far as we are concerned. Because we are now risen with Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No more guessing about it, it's all over. Amen. I just love that. No more hopes, no more wishing, no more, oh, it's over. We're now risen with Him, sitting in heavenly places. How many of you believe that? You understand that because it's a promise of God, and heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will not pass away. And I've started comparing it this past month or so with you, that you know Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. That was in God's plan, in God's mind. Therefore, He could prophesy all the prophecies He did in the Old Testament by those men under inspiration of the Spirit of God. But there came a time on that day on Calvary when Jesus Christ literally, physically died. But it was done before the foundation of the world. This is the same way. This resurrection is promised to those that believe. But there will come a day when this will literally, physically happen. Now we have the potential. What should be our confession? We are resurrected. Well, I hope I'll be in that number. No. You need to know. You have passed from death to life. Why? Because God's Word promised it to you. People are hoping to win the lottery. But talk to somebody who's literally won it. And you'll find it wasn't the best thing that ever happened to them. They couldn't handle it. Most of them go broke on a down payment plan. Or they loan their money to their friends or family. But listen, folks, this promise of a resurrection of the dead in Christ is a thus saith the Lord. Amen. It'll not pass away. Was there any more to that? We're already risen with Him sitting in heavenly places. And now, and in above this to the church you say, then Brother Branham, what does it mean then that we should preach the gospel of? That's our next hope. That's our next thing. After we're risen with Him, we have the great commission to go into all the world and bring those tidings to others. You know, folks, if you really believe in a resurrection, you don't mind talking about somebody else. That's enough to get their attention. They'll either say, you're crazy, or I want to know about it. In 1963, January the 13th, paragraph 7, in Perseverance in Phoenix, aren't we happy? We haven't got a thing to worry about, not a thing. We're anchored in Christ, sitting in heavenly places. Caught up in rapturing grace right now, sitting in His presence in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Death itself can't touch us. Anchored away, nothing can bother us. Just simply secured and waiting for His coming. Lord, give us this peace.
Amen.
I think this is the reason it's important for us to understand the resurrection. But folks, you won't even fear death.
That's right.
If you have an understanding and a revelation of the resurrection.
Amen.
In 1965, and I want you to notice that that one was before the seals, but here's 65 in April the 18th. Paragraph 346. And now see, now you're already resurrected. Really? When God raised Him up, He raised you.
Yeah. Amen.
The sun is just now on you, and now you're growing into a blossom life like He was to be resurrected completely in that last day. Your potentials you have now, why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
In obedience to what? A church? The Word, which is the life.
Yes.
Then you're now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter. With Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. And it's Easter with you, I, and Jesus. We are all, or Jesus, you and I, we're all resurrected together.
Yes, sir.
And we will rise at the last day, even though our spirits leave our bodies, even though the bodies rust, may they go to dust, may they be burned up, may they be in the bottom of the sea. The Bible said an angel poured out his upon the sea, and everything that died came up. There is nothing can hide us or separate us from the God that we love so well, that's raised us up together. God, make this resurrection that you promised. Let us see the physical, literal potential. That it doesn't matter what the government says or what anybody else says. We have passed from death to life.
Amen.
We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God has said He will bring us with Him, raise us up in the last day.
Amen.
Death, you don't have any claim on us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 1965. August the 22nd, Christ is revealed in His own word, paragraph 141. Then He was made actually human flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ Himself. Born of the Virgin Mary, He came in that form so He could die and went back to heaven. Now in this last days, He has promised to manifest Himself in the fullness again of His flesh in spirit. For as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now look at the Sodom, how it said and what taken place, and Jesus Christ being manifested in bodily form of His church today. See, doing the same thing, same work, same things He did all the time, never changes, the Eternal One. And upon earth today, He has manifested Himself in the human bodies, our human bodies that He has called, and done exactly the same thing He'd done in sundry times and in the times of His flesh upon the earth. And doing the same thing today, because God in sundry times spoke to the fathers through the prophets in this last days through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, the Son being revealed in the last days, God manifested in human flesh, setting just before Sodom's destruction the end of the Gentile world. You see, there's three manifestations. Now the next thing happens is when it's all gathered up into that one person, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Bride and body, at the physical return of the Lord Jesus, making His three times when He was brought on earth, killed, crucified, raised up, manifesting Himself in the form of His body, which is His bride.
Yes.
The woman, you get it? She is part of His body. And the woman and man is just so close together till they're just almost, they are the same.
Yes.
They ought to be anyhow. There they are. See, they just exactly manifested the same. She is a part of Him because she was taken out from Him. And the bride today is taken out from the body of Christ, which is acting and doing just exactly like He said it would do for this day. The bride, the queen, king and the queen, all right.
Amen. Lord.
You realize what He's saying?
Yes.
It's God manifested in human beings today.
Amen.
Why? Because He said He would do it.
Amen.
These things that I do, shall you do also.
Amen.
Yea, greater than these shall you do.
Right.
See, most people who call themselves Christians say, oh, the days of miracles, the signs and the wonders, that was for the days of Jesus, or even the apostles. But you tell me where the Bible ever said it'll cease. The truth is, there's to be a restoration of it. And I thank God in His grace and mercy and His foreknowledge. He knew that there's going to be a group of people that is going to be so far removed from that, they weren't even going to understand it. So He said, before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes, I'll send you a prophet like Elijah.
Amen.
And the works that He saw, He knows that did, the days shall be repeated, and you'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Now, if we believe in the resurrection of the dead, why don't we believe in the restoration of the works of God among us now?
That's right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for those, He'll do for us.
Amen.
We can talk to the educated people and they'll say, well, I don't understand. But go talk to somebody like Caleb did at Haiti. Well, we knew they were ignorant to start off with. Then God make us all to be ignorant. That we can believe the simplicity of God's word rather than trying to figure it out and say that's impossible. When the truth is, all things are possible with God. That God could take the dust and make a living soul out of it. And if one is dead or asleep in the dust, God can take it again and make it live. That's the resurrection. And when will this happen? When the trumpet sounds. And He says, I'm ready to have my bride come to a wedding supper. And the dead in Christ shall come forth first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet with them, to meet Him in the air. That's called rapture. But before we're raptured, we will see our loved ones in Christ. People are looking for the coming of the Lord. Well, let me tell you what you're going to see before you see Him. Outside of the manifestation of Himself in believers, you're going to see the dead in Christ.
Amen.
And what a day that's going to be.
Amen.
How do you think for just a moment the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus crucified, taken down, put in the tomb. And then when He came unto them Himself and said, behold my hands. Here's my side. Thomas cried out, my Lord, my God. How are you going to feel when you see your mother, your dad, your grandparents, your little babies? They're not going to look old and wrinkled or young. They're all going to be about 18 to 20 years old, prime of life.
Amen.
Folks, a few years ago, I had an experience with that. It was a dream, but it was real. I dreamed I went there. How many of you remember that dream? I carry a list of those I saw in my pocket. Because I take it out and read it every once in a while. It was November the 3rd, 1991. Oh my, very close to the anniversary, isn't it? I dreamed I was like walking past a big tent. Like you go to a circus and somebody was standing out front of it hollering, hurry, hurry, hurry. And then I saw my dad. Young man. I'd seen pictures of dad when he's young, so I knew. And he was with another young lady. She was small. I didn't recognize her. And he said, Perry, this is my mother. This is your grandmother. My grandmother was a young woman. I didn't know her that way. I saw Johnny's sister, Janet Green, who had just died. And thing I noticed about her, she was young when she passed away. What was she, Johnny, 20, 21? Janet always had the most beautiful complexion. And she still had that complexion. Fred Barker was there. He wasn't crippled. He wasn't paralyzed. And I said, hurry, Fred. What I always said to him when I saw him. And he did me a dance. There were two other young men came up to me. And one of them I recognized as Clarence Cleveland. And Sister Cleveland had lived with us for a while, and I'd seen pictures of Brother Cleveland when he was a young man. And I recognized him, but there was another little boy with him. I say boy, he looked like he's about 14. But he kept telling Clarence, he don't know me. He don't know who I am. He don't know me. And turned out to be Virgil Murray, our office manager. He's in his 60s or 70s when I knew him. But here he was a little boy. A little boy because he was a little man. Then I saw a man I did not know. And his brother Wiggins is dad. He's the one that one night we was baptizing, we was having foot washing. He's up here on the balcony and he fell off right here. And I believe God raised him back to life. Another man I saw, but I didn't know because I'd seen pictures of him when he was in the service, and he's a young man. And that was Brother Jim Roth. He's Lawrence Roth's dad. There was two young men came up to me, and I didn't recognize them. But Fred Brown had just died a few months before, and Don Pilkington. And they were friends here, and I saw them two together there. The next one was Sister Leonard. I did not know her. Anybody remember Sister Leonard? Faithful as she could be, sitting right back there. But I didn't know her as a young girl, but I didn't recognize her. Next one come up, I did know. It was Sydney Jackson. Then I saw one of my nephews. I thought it was Sean Childress. Big boy. And I said, Sean, you're here. And the boy spoke back to me and said, Uncle Perry, I'm not Sean, I'm Sammy Dale. That was Sammy and Mac's little boy that had died from a heart defect when he was about 15. Always been frail and skinny. But on the other side, he's just like his nephew. Big, strong, stout boy. Then I saw John Grant, who had just committed suicide. I hugged him. I wanted to ask him, John, why? Why did you do this? But he leaned over and whispered my ear. He said, tell Debbie to enjoy and finish her life. I wanted to ask, but I couldn't. And then I saw Brother Branham. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a dream or an experience like that, but let me tell you something, folks. There's a wonderful feeling about it. I told some of the folks who were at church this morning, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I told you folks that one night I woke up about 1:30 in the morning and I felt like I'd been raptured. I wasn't hurting anywhere. I felt like I was floating on air. And I actually thought I had died and passed on or been raptured. Dr. Dotson, my family physician for many years here, told me one time when I was just past 55, I was telling him about a pain I had and so forth. And he said, Perry, he said, when you're past 55 and you wake up in the morning and you're not hurting somewhere, you need to be concerned because you're dead. And that's the way I felt that morning 2 or 3 weeks ago, about 1:30 in the morning. And it was so wonderful. I got up and went in Janice's bedroom to see if she was still there. And then a week later, I had the same experience again. Something similar to it, only this time it lasted longer. Well, night before last, it happened again. This time I looked at the clock real quick because I wanted to time it, and it was 12 minutes long. Maybe that's just how long it took me to wake up or whatever it was, but I'm telling you, folks, I believe we're going to experience a change.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll laugh at me about this, but and maybe Sister Green won't appreciate it, but next week is her 75th birthday. And you know, Abraham and Sarah got younger after that.
Amen.
Now, I'm not 90. But there's going to be a change.
Amen.
And as Johnny reminded you this morning, I'll tell you this, folks. The more I've read about this coming of the Lord, and the more I've preached to you about it, and the more scriptures I've read, and the more quotes I have, and I mentioned to you, I want to talk to you about the earthquake in relationship with the resurrection. It's just grown and grown and grown, and I realized that in 2004, Sondra and I had done a lot of research on the quotes of Brother Branham because I wanted to make sure I said it correctly in the chapter of my book called Earthquake Judgment. And I don't think I realized how many times Brother Branham did talk about the earthquake in different phases. I mean, or different incidents. Like there was an earthquake the day of the crucifixion. There was an earthquake in the book of Acts when Peter was in jail. An earthquake when the Holy Spirit came. Brother Branham even mentioned to me about up here in Sabino Canyon when he's telling about them rocks. He said them great big rocks have ever gotten place on the day of the crucifixion when the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. And you know, I can't go up in Sabino Canyon without seeing it. Oh, now, they can tell you they happened in 1937 when this earthquake, now they left. But you know what? Nobody was up there to witness that. They don't have any record of that. But I believe this earth shook. It trembled. And doesn't the Bible talk about birth pains? And look at it, folks. We're seeing them closer and closer and closer together.
Yes.
And not only that, but it talks about every time there's a vial, every time. But you read in the Bible, every time there's a resurrection, there's an earthquake. And so I didn't get it all done. There's about that many pages of quotes, and I only get about an hour to give it to you folks. So, you know, in order to give you 14 or 15 hours in that, we have to know the subject well enough to bring it down and reduce it to you. Like Peter, when he preached, you know, he talked about the flood, he did it in one verse. The future destruction of the earth, he did it in one verse. Wouldn't you appreciate all those preachers knowing our subject that way? So that we did. Thank you, Johnny. I'll find something else to say about you. But you understand, folks. And you know what really I'm concerned about? I'm talking about these subjects, and I think they're important. But I find that some are not listening. Or it's not having an effect on some of you. Sister Green and I was talking about this morning on the way to church, and she said, well, some of them only come on Sunday morning. Well, you know, there are other things said on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And it's just according to whether you want to hear it or not. But let me tell you, this is something that you should be taking real serious.
Amen.
We're living in the days when the dead in Christ are going to rise.
Amen.
And you may say, oh, I believe it. But listen, think of the change that will take place. And you're thinking when that happens. I got 10 minutes. Let me finish these two or three scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Paul had to deal with the subject where there were some people coming there and said, the resurrection has already occurred. And they had something to base it on. Matthew 27 says, after his resurrection, that the bodies of the saints came forth and showed themselves in the streets of Jerusalem. So they looked at that, and Brother Branham cautions us and said, watch that you don't get this mixed up now. Because when Jesus gave them the signs of the end of the time of his coming and the kingdom and so forth, he said, watch this now or you get it mixed up. And I think that's what happens to us sometimes is we don't understand everything that's going to happen and we get, well, this will happen, that will happen. But that's the reason I want you to be familiar with this so that when it happens, you say it's time for this to happen. Matthew chapter 27, verse 53 is the one I said. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, don't get it mixed up. But now, there were some in the New Testament that did not believe in the resurrection. we read in Matthew 22:23 that the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. Now, this was Jesus preaching to these Sadducees. Mark also mentions this in 12:18 and Luke 20:27. But then Paul does the same thing in Acts 23:8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. It's the same today. There's some that do not believe in a resurrection. But look at 1 Corinthians 15:13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?
Amen.
Look at Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
Yes.
Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Then there's going to be a resurrection of those that he calls.
Amen.
Let me give you four quotes to conclude this morning. In 1963, October the 28th, paragraph 152. Did I skip something on you, Chris? Or did I get it? Yeah. Our Heavenly Father, knowing that the sun is swiftly going down, time shall be no more, one day the great archangel will step out on the scene of time from out of eternity. And the trumpet of God shall sound, and every man and woman will answer to what we know to be the truth, the Word of God. There's got to be some standard that God has to have here on earth that we're to be judged by. And if we took the standard of our church, our denomination, how far would we miss it? And which denomination would be right? Therefore, we'd be confused. We wouldn't know what to do. But there is a standard, and that is God's Word. In 1964, now I want you to know that that first one was after the seals. 64, July, the, well, I got 18th, but you got 19th. Is that right? How thankful we are for all of God's blessings. May it continue to be with us until the last trumpet blows, and you know, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Think of it. Missing people. They can't see you no more, but you're getting together with the rest of the group. They which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder. The word is those which are asleep, not dead. No, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest. That's all. Oh my. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once you happen to stand and look, and well, there's a brother. And you know it ain't long. In a few minutes we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and together with them be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, Brother Brown gives us an example there. How are you going to feel when you see those?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say something to you. Brother Branham told me that the dead in Christ would rise first and be with us for a minimum of 40 days. How many believe he told me that?
Amen.
When I first started telling that, people said, well, I never heard him say it. But there's two places he says it. Now, what do you think is going to happen during that time when we begin to see our loved ones walk around this earth? I'll tell you, folks, you're not going to have anything against me then. Or anybody else. That's suddenly going to disappear. Your ambitions, your desires. You say, why 40 days? Well, that's how long Jesus was here. What a day.
Yes.
What a month.
Amen.
Okay, the next one. 1965. Oh, this one's special to me. What house will you build me? That's the day Brother Branham dedicated Tucson Tabernacle and ordained me in the ministry. 11:21. Paragraph 43. Dear God, I'm thinking of another great time coming, and that will be the resurrection. When the old timers will come forth first, saints, the patriarchs. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, when we see that great, just those people going, marching up through the skies, and we'll be standing, waiting for our change, knowing that we'll fall in line. Also, God, make us faithful soldiers.
Amen.
Brother Branham was standing in front of the old tabernacle before we ever leased it, watching the Armistice Day parade. He comes and he tells us about this and compares it with that day that's coming when we're going to see him.
Amen.
I'm watching. I'm looking. I'm listening. I'm believing. And Brother Branham, in that same tape, he makes a statement like this. He said, now we'll stay here until this place fills up, and then we'll go to another one. We'll fill it up, and then we'll go to another one, and we'll fill it up, and then the Lord will come.
Amen.
We're now in our third building. It's been full. Seen it packed. But what are we supposed to be doing? Waiting for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Watching,
yes,
for the resurrection.
Praise the Lord.
Looking for your loved ones.
Amen.
Looking for those that are asleep in Christ.
Yes.
The last one, 65. March 10th. No, April 10th. Paragraph 134. Let's notice Pentecost, how they acted. And see if they were quickened by the quickening power that we're talking about.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, they were all waiting up there in themselves. They were afraid. The Jews, just what they were going to do, so they got scared. But what happened? When this quickening power fell from heaven, there was a bravery set up on them. That's what I think is going to happen to us.
Amen.
They wasn't too sure of it. A few hours before, they know he had died. They know he had risen. They had talked to him on the way. But was that thing for them, or was it just for them, for Jesus himself? But here on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the abstract, fell upon the believers that made them part of his resurrection, made him part of his fellowship. The Holy Spirit came and confirmed to them that they would be raised up. Because they were potentially raised then from cowards,
yes,
to brave men.
Amen.
They were afraid of the very word that they had thought. Don't let this pass over you. And he said that to us.
That's right.
Don't let this pass over you. They were afraid. They know that he was that word.
Right.
Later on, John wrote, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The Word was made manifest and dwelt among us.
Yes.
We beheld His glory.
Amen.
John didn't get that thought that day, but later on that inspiration struck him. God let the inspiration and the truth of the resurrection,
amen,
of the dead in Christ dwell in our hearts today.
Amen.
Watching and waiting, for the dead in Christ shall rise. We shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise.
Amen.
When the trumpet sounds, we shall rise.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Let's stand together for a while. I'm not talking about the Lord coming back that day. I'm talking about you seeing the dead in Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you. Are you going to have to see it to believe it, or do you believe it today?
Amen.
There were some that had heard him say, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up. And they saw the crucifixion, the burial. They were told of the resurrection, and they didn't believe it. Now, he never wrote them off. He upbraided them for it and said, oh, you have little faith. Where's your faith? Why can't you believe? These are things I told you before. But you know, there's people that still didn't believe it. You know, Caiaphas, the high priest, one of those that was responsible for leading the people in to crucify him. He didn't believe. But he knew Joseph and Mary. He knew John the Baptist. And we are told, after the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, that he went to Mary and asked Mary what really happened. And he became a believer. You believe that? Even though he's the one who said, crucify. When Jesus called himself, he asked him, are you the Son of God? He said, thou sayest. The man ripped his garment. Being a high priest, that was an illegal act. But some people say he did it out of disgust for Jesus. But you know, he could have said it because he realized how wrong he was. He no longer wanted to be the high priest. I got criticized when I told that story. The Vatican finally released the book and published it, his testimony. But when Israel and archaeological discoveries found his tomb, it had Christian symbols in it.
Amen.
I can believe that he's on the other side. He's one that somebody had to do that part.
Sure.
But can you tell me that a man can be that close to the resurrection and see it? And witness it and witness all, and then not believe? He'd have to be a devil. Brother Bram said they were evil, but that was an evil spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Sure.
There's room for you today if you can believe the resurrection.
Amen.
I'm telling you now. I want you to think about it. I want you to read about it. Look in your Bible. And you know what? I think God in His grace and mercy, He's going to give us something else too. He's going to shake people up. And that's going to be a birth pain like the earthquake.
Yes.
There's going to be an earthquake that's going to sink Los Angeles beneath the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother Bram said that was, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody says, why don't you pray and prevent it? Listen, if it's been prophesied and it's in the plan of God, pray all you want to. It's still going to happen.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what you need to pray for? Let all the believers that know about that flee from that place for safety.
Amen.
A number of you people are guilty of doing that. You have moved from there because you believe that prophecy.
Amen.
But you know what? It's been 40-something years now, and we've let the enthusiasm of that thing go, and we go back out there now for a holiday to Disneyland. I know when you used to wouldn't even fly an airplane through there. Look up. These signs are coming to pass, and our redemption is drawing nigh.
Amen.
You have eternal life?
Amen.
Then don't fear death. There's a resurrection coming. Lord Jesus, look upon our hearts today, Lord, and let us see Your Word. And if I've said it wrong or confusing or illegal or illegitimate, Lord, please let the people hear it right in their hearts. Let it come to pass, O God, that we'll know in the reality that You that formed us in the dust of the earth is able to raise us up again because we have eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you this morning. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Yes, I love Him. I love Him because yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As you go this morning, don't disbelieve God's Word.
Amen.
Search the Scriptures. See if there's not a resurrection going to happen.
Amen.
And then remember, not my words, not even Brother Brown's word, but God's Word will not return void.
Amen.
There's going to be a resurrection of those that are asleep in Christ.
Amen.
You're going to see them on this earth.
Yes.
If thou canst believe.
Amen.
As you go today, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, you're dismissed. God bless you.